Hello and welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities have areas the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we head to Karlín, a neighbourhood in Prague which used to be one of the less desired areas of the Czech capital. However, since huge floods 15 years ago, it has gone through a transformation. Jan Valenta from Taste of Prague Food Tours takes our contributor Maria Krinina to some of Karlín's top destinations.
Karlín is a very small neighborhood, and as you've seen, it's very, very walkable, and you can't get lost here.
I'm Jan, and I'm the co-founder of Taste of Prague. We run food tours in Prague, and we write a web blog about the food in Prague. We wrote a guidebook about the food in Prague. It's just called Taste of Prague. We call it the Prague Foodie Map, and you can buy it online, or you can buy it in selected coffee shops and restaurants in Prague. It's a beautiful neighborhood now. It wasn't the case maybe 15 years ago. My dad used to live here. I used to come here to visit him over the weekends, and I really did not want to come here. It was the only ugly, really bad neighborhood in town. By bad, I mean ugly. There was no violent crime or anything here, but it was just ugly. And then in 2002, this got horribly flooded, and since then, it's been undergoing a constant process of gentrification.
This is just like really nice here in Karlín, that all these places are literally 1 minute walk, yeah. Or sometimes even 30 yeah. seconds as in this case.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a very compact neighborhood. I don't know if you noticed this, but this is also the only neighborhood in Prague that is built on a grid. It's a long straight street, it's rectangular, it's like Manhattan. It's just very, very organized. Unlike the rest of Prague, which is pretty much of a mess, because mm-hmm. it's a medieval layout, this is very well so laid out, because it's a younger neighborhood. This was really built in the 19th century. It's a working class neighborhood, something like Shoreditch in London or like Williamsburg mm-hmm. in Brooklyn, where it's been kind of rough around the edges, but now it's being gentrified. Although we don't have the negative effects of gentrification, like people moving out because they can't afford the rent. That just doesn't mm-hmm. really exist there.
And how often do you take tourists to this neighborhood, to Karlín?
Oh, every single day. We finish our tours here.
Why?
Well, because we want to show you something different. This is right next to, we could walk for 5 minutes over there and we'd be in the center, but actually not many people who visit Prague venture outside of the center. And I think this is the nicest neighborhood to show them something real, something different.
So would you say that there are more kind of local cafes here, more something interesting, less touristy?
Absolutely. This is something that is below the radar. We finish the tours, most of our guests take out a map and they ask me, show me where you are, and I'll say, well, we're off the map.
We are now on the Sokolovska Street, and like there is a beautiful, beautiful square where people sit and drink some beer and wine and maybe tea and coffees, and some people just walk through and eat ice cream, mm-hmm. and many of them sit outside because it's a beautiful day here. They have lunch. It's a lunchtime. And you brought me to this Hamburg Lokale?
Mm-hmm. Lokal Hamburg.
Okay, so maybe let's go inside and see what's there.
Okay.
Okay, so what is this place special for?
Well, this is a neighborhood pub. This used to be a pub for the longest time. I used to go here with my dad. I can still remember many of these things, like the chandeliers that look like ship wheels. You know, mm-hmm. Hamburg. Because this used to be a customs office back in the day. We're not that far from the river, so there were docks behind the building, and they would basically bring in stuff on ships from Hamburg, and you would do the customs here in this building. That's why one of the staples on their menu is marinated herring, because it comes from Hamburg. Yeah, herring, so this is still something that they serve here. It's just a regular pub, but very, very popular. People come here for lunches, and they come here in the evening to have beers. It also shows how far the water went in the 2002 flood. It's nearly 3 meters, as you can see.
Oh, and so the flood went up to up until that mark on the yeah. wall, like 3 meters up. Wow, that's crazy.
It was the worst flood ever recorded. The 2002 flood, basically everything went wrong, and that's what started the gentrification. That's what started the changes here in Karlín. My favorite meal here is definitely beer. And also the schnitzels are very good. Schnitzel with potato salad and beer is a classic Czech combo.
Oh, what kind of beer do they serve here?
They serve Pilsner Ukel, but it's if you can see here, it's a tank beer. They come here from Pilsen every second day, roughly, and they put it, the fresh beer, unpasteurized, untreated beer, into these tank trucks, and we're drinking it absolutely fresh. If you look at the tap, you can see that we're drinking from tank number 3. It was open actually yesterday at 10 p.m. It was brought one day before, so this is 2 days old beer. This is as fresh as you ever gonna get it.
So we have all this information written on that glass just behind the tank.
And that's why people love it here, because this is, if you don't pasteurize beer, it is fresher, it has more kick, and it has more flavor. And that's how Pilsner Urquell, which is the biggest brewer in the country, that's how they want to now market themselves as the fresh beer.
Cool, so let's take some beer and drink it maybe outside to enjoy this tiny day. Where do we go now?
Let's have some coffee. We'll go to Café Carlin, which is a small espresso bar. It's honestly like 30 seconds by walk from here.
Okay, cool. In this cafe, you can really feel the focus on coffee because it's so small. It has only 2 tiny, tiny tables and 2 benches and only coffee. And this maybe also your famous cascara drinks.
Well, Café Carlin is known for its owners, actually. It's the 2 guys, Adam and Zdeněk, A to Z, in a way. Honestly, 6 years ago, I felt like the king when I was drinking like an Illy cappuccino, Italian style. And it has changed completely the coffee landscape here in Prague. I mean, they really, these 2 guys were instrumental in bringing especially coffee to Prague. I mean, they were not the only ones, but they were a big part of it, because they started a company called the Coffee Club, Kávový klub in Czech, and they started doing presentations. They started selling specialty coffee on farmers markets that were just about becoming popular at that time, and they really have changed the way people think about high quality coffee. And they opened Café Carlin later. This is, I don't know, I'm guessing 2.5 years old, but I mean, people had known them before from the farmers markets.
So we got some caffeine to move on, and where are you taking me next?
I'm taking you to Simply Good, which is a very small bakery, but it is our favorite bakery in town. One of 2 or 3 favorite bakeries in town.
And how do we go there?
We just go that way. It's still on Sokolovská Street. It's 2 minutes by walk from here. They are open until I think 6 p.m., but you come here at 2, 3 p.m., it's already sold out, most of the good items. So they have a small production, but it's something that is very, very popular.
Hey, hello. What would you recommend me here?
Well, I would definitely recommend kolače, which is the Moravian kolače, which is a yeast dough bun, some curd cheese, some plum jam, maybe poppy seeds, and on top there's a streusel. And these are basically the Czech kolače, which is something like a very small yeast dough pizza. And they have traditionally 3 fillings or 3 toppings. The first one is plum jam, the second one is curd cheese, and the third one is poppy seeds. And they're always with streusel. And it's a thing that we eat for breakfast or as a snack. They're also served in weddings, brownies and whatnot. But I would definitely suggest kolače, because that's the local thing.
Yeah, let's get that.
Oh, the nice thing about this is that this is actually fairly affordable. I mean, this is actually very not that expensive.
So how much is one kolače?
One kolače is maybe 16 crowns, which is, let's say, well, like 60 euro cents.
Okay.
All right, let's try this.
Yeah, let's try it. Cheers. Mmm.
So there's raisins in it. There's curd cheese mostly. Mm-hmm. That's a yeast dough. The curd cheese really adds hydration to the yeast dough. So
yes.
It isn't dry, it's still very moist. It's because of the curd cheese and the streusel on top. I think you have more plum jam than I do.
But, I'm sorry. We finally turned from Sokolovská Street. Where do we go?
We go to one street that is parallel to Křižíková Street, and there's 3 fantastic places there. And they're all more about drinks than food.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a great wine bar, there's a great tea room, mm-hmm. and there's a great coffee shop.
Amazing, so exciting, let's do that. It is so quiet here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it, it's a small oasis. You can just hide away here. Mm-hmm. And for instance, Susie and I, we get quite a lot of work done here. Sometimes we come and just take our laptops and just get some tea, work, or just chill, because it's a very nice place that is going. You just enter here and I don't have to, but I'm just instantaneously whispering rather than speaking, because it has a very nice low, like a low-key vibe that I really like about this.
What kind of tea do you prefer taking here?
Well, there's now is the season of first flush Darjeelings, so that's what we're going to get. I like those a lot. I really like some of the archived oolongs. That's very nice. And like, he has incredible teas. He has teas from Japan that are, because he's well connected not to distributors but to the actual growers of tea. So he knows the owners of the tea gardens around the world, and he travels there extensively, and then he brings the best stuff here. So whatever he says is very interesting.
It was Zahari Gopalda from Gopalda Tea Estate.
Let's have a tea. Cheers. It's very gentle. It has a gentle taste. Is it Japanese tea?
No, this is Darjeeling. This is like an Indian. This is the first flush Darjeeling tea, which means this is the seasonal. This is the young tea, which gets, you know, normally when you drink Darjeeling from, like, let's say, Dilma, or like it's a later production, but this still has like a green tea, kind of very light, nicely fruity, kind of a floral taste. Yeah, so it's a young Darjeeling.
So getting from the tea room to the wine bar requires no effort at all, because it's right next door. We just got out of one door and here we are, it's the next door. They're literally right next to each other. And Veltlin is an institution. It really has brought natural wines to the forefront. I think here in Prague, let's be honest here, we are a smaller city, we are a regional city, we're not Paris, we're not London, we're not New York City. But if there was one trend that I think we led the way here, I mean, think globally, it was natural wines. No sulfites, slow spontaneous fermentation. They focus only on natural wines from the former Austro-Hungarian Empire. So we're talking Czech, Slovak, Austrian, Hungarian, Northern Italian, Slovenian wines. And it's just a small place. I mean, it's a distribution point. They distribute to many of the best restaurants in town. But you can come here, either have wine, or they also have organized tastings of wines with the actual winemakers.
Good evening.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm sorry, it's a little bit messy here.
It's okay.
Is there anything else? Did you have them radio? Yeah.
What would you recommend me having here?
We have a natural wine, and you come from outside of Czech Republic, so it's a great chance to represent you some wine from Czech Republic. Why not to taste orange wine?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear it?
No, I've never heard it. Is it from oranges?
No. Sure. It's oranges which are macerated in the wine. No, I'm joking. It's a white wine made like red wine. So the process is that on the beginning, it's a white one.
Oh, yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this wine. Sorry. Yeah. I like this wine.
Oh, now you change your mind. You didn't want to have some and now you'll get it.
Few young winemakers who are now very popular. For example, one of them is Milan Estarets. Mm-hmm. He's almost the superstar in the world. Almost.
So let's cheers, John.
Cheers.
Cheers. You were telling me that because this bar is located so close to that tea room, they kind of work together, right?
No, I mean, that's what they told me in the tea room, that sometimes they get wine from here at the end of their shift because they're so buzzed up by the tea, so they get wine to cool down. And they told me too that sometimes people from the wine bar get tea there in the morning because they want to spring up, you know, they want some new energy into them after the busy night the day before.
We don't have fights. We have a big cooperation.
This is such a small world here, is it?
It's like a mafia, roughly. Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
It's a Karlin district. Yes. Only working in this district.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you for taking me to Karlin then. Yeah, I'm so happy that I've seen all this.
You've seen too much now.
Jan Valenta from Taste of Prague Food Tours showed Karlin neighborhood to Monaco's Maria Grinina. This has been episode number 35 of Food Neighborhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening and bye for now.